Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Wendy Kingston reading the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, March 19, 2024. House Speaker kicks off Energy Week. Visited Permian Basin on Monday by Mella McEwen. Ector County. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson kicked off National Energy Week by traveling to the Permian Basin Monday. This is National Energy Week, and Odessa and Midland are the heart of the Permian Basin, he said after touring a Diamondback energy drilling rig at the invitation of Republican August Pfluger, whose District 11 includes the region. The Permian Basin is so critically important, he continued. It's been a blessing to the U.S. to have these resources and then the technology to develop them. Pfluger said that as part of Energy Week, the House would be voting on several pieces of legislation. He said, "We're designed to unleash the nation's energy capabilities." One bill would eliminate the methane fee included in the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act. Another bill would advance the nation's liquefied natural gas exporting capabilities. We want to reaffirm our commitment to providing reliable, affordable energy, he stated. Johnson criticized the Biden administration for what he called its anti-energy agenda and policies he said are bad for the nation's energy security and bad for the nation's economy. He was particularly critical of the cancellation of the Keystone XL pipeline, the methane fee, the decision to sell crude from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and the recent decision to pause consideration of new liquefied natural gas exporting facilities. Such moves are terribly destructive to our strength on the world stage and terribly destructive to our allies, Johnson said. These policies are fueling the war machine of Putin. He praised the efforts of companies like Diamondback Energy to advance technology to produce energy efficiently and cleanly on their own initiative rather than under government regulations. It's important to help the public understand these efforts, he said. Pfluger said he invites his fellow legislators to the Permian Basin because it's important for them to talk to the people actually doing the job and can tie into government policies. Legislators can see what's happening and tie it all together. There are huge stakes for Diamondback and other companies. Wendy Kingston reading Midland Reporter Telegram, March 19th, 2024. House fire in central Midland displaces two residents by City of Midland. A house fire happened on Sunday at 5:50 p.m., say city officials. According to a Midland press release, the Midland Fire Department responded to a house fire in the 2500 block of Harvard Avenue. Fire department officials reported a small fire in the attic caused moderate damage to the home, resulting in two people being displaced. Assistance from the Red Cross help was offered to residents, according to the fire department. The investigation into the house fire remains ongoing. Wendy Kingston reading the Reporter Telegram, March 19, 2024. Modern Knights Embrace Tradition. The Sword School in downtown Midland offers fitness while training in European martial arts. By B.K. Richter. Imagine a world where armored knights once ran rampant into the countryside or fair maidens used daggers to defend their honor. It's not hard to envision this fantasy world as one crosses the threshold of the Sword School, DEMAS. Located in downtown Midland in the basement of American Momentum Bank at 600 North Marienfeld Street, sits a modern gym complete with weapons used in the art of historical European martial arts, or HEMA for short. Owner and lead instructor Sky Hilton said that her business is centered around personal training, fitness, and nutritional coaching during the day. But in the evenings, her Sword Academy takes center stage. Hilton began studying under Stephen Fick in Santa Clara, California, where she focused on various medieval and Renaissance martial arts and weapons. In 2017, she became certified as a longsword instructor through HEMA and moved to Midland in 2018. She, along with fellow instructor Jake Ulmer, founded the only HEMA club in West Texas. It is easy to see that Hilton knows her weapons and the techniques of swordplay. As she pointed to two men jousting, she commented, "They are fencing with side swords." Side swords are a Renaissance weapon, all right, so when you think about them, think about Romeo and Juliet and their type of dueling. That's probably the type of sword they would be using. A side sword, which is a kind of cut and thrust weapon. The next question for many may be, but are the swords real? And yes, HEMA does use real steel swords, which have been augmented for safety. According to the school's website, steel training and competition swords used in HEMA are made from carbon steel with blunted edges and rounded or rolled points and are designed to flex when used to thrust. There's not just one type of sword, but rather the facility instructs how to use Italian long swords, German long swords, side swords, great swords, the rondelle, Bowie knives, spears, and rapiers. It is worth noting that protective gear such as heavy-duty, puncture-resistant vests, mask, and arm protection are worn by students. Side sword instructor Jamie Inman said, "The path to learning the curriculum of HEMA was a subject that he always had an interest in, and once he received the opportunity, he quickly became an avid student. My biggest piece of advice for students is to be patient," he said during an on-site interview with the Reporter Telegram. "You need to trust the process and allow for mistakes, but also have fun with it. Take your time and the skills will eventually come later." Inman says that the learning curve for learning the ancient art form is hard to determine. "Everybody is different," he commented. "Everybody has a different aptitude for it." He also encouraged students to read the manuals and education guides which are published for sword fighting. "When it comes to training, start reading the manuals off the bat," he explained, "because a lot of people will just come into class and just learn how to swing the sword around, but the manuals are really where the meat is, and that is where you learn the hows and whys." For instructor and co-founder Jake Ulmer, the most difficult part of HEMA is the mental aspect. It's where you need to have very cautious control over what actions you are doing at any particular time, he explained. "I find that in sword play, especially for people who are newer and are not used to competitive sports, there's a little bit of anger and frustration when you are not able to compete something or when somebody beats you." Ulmer said, "For the students, climbing that mental challenge can prove to be an uphill battle for many, but keeping focus on your training and keeping a goal in mind to help you develop is critical," he said. Overall, Ulmer said, "The best experience of sword fighting is the community. The community of people that you get to meet is fantastic," he said. "It's very rare that you run into a group of people with a mindset that is unfriendly or unwelcoming." For a full list of classes, a schedule of class days and times, and more information are readily accessible via the school's website. The next seminar, which is open to the public, is a women's self-defense class on Saturday, April 13th from 3 to 5 p.m. The defensive blade is a knife self-defense developed to survive and escape a violent attacker who is bigger and stronger. Many knife systems do this, but will also cover the psychological and emotional attacks involved. "Because in most cases, it isn't a stranger attacking you. It is someone known," reads the class description. Sabrina Nordman, a student of the Sword School for more than a year, says the best part of the learning experience has been the historical aspect. "It's fun learning the historical aspect," she said. it's not just the working out part and not just learning how, but you know, it's like, how does this apply historically? Norman also advised for newcomers to the sport that there are no dumb mistakes. Never be afraid to be a beginner, she committed. It's a good workout for the brain and the body. Wendy Kingston reading the Midland Reporter Telegram, March 19th, 2024. Structure fire reported in southwest Midland by City of Midland. The fire department responded to a structure fire at 3:52 a.m. Saturday, located southwest of the city within Midland County lines. Officials within the fire department stated the structure was in 4500 block of West County Road 118. According to the initial reports, the structure was fully engulfed upon arrival, and fire responders believe the structure was vacant. There were no injuries reported. The investigation into the fire is ongoing. Wendy Kingston reading the Midland Reporter Telegram, March 19th, 2024. Thespians Advocacy Network Bridging Theater Education by B.K. Richter. All the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts. While the familiar line from William Shakespeare's As You Like It concisely summarizes how individuals go about their daily lives, the words create a different meaning for Midland High School student Michaela Delgado. The junior is a representative of the Texas Thespians Advocacy Network. The advocacy network has many purposes, but the mission of the organization is to create an educational and professional network to strengthen equitable access and support of theater education. Here in West Texas, the arts are more overlooked, especially theater, Delgado explained during a phone interview with the Reporter Telegram. It's important that we make people see it is not something to simply push aside. Delgado aims to fulfill that mission of creating pathways for children and teens to embark on within the theater arts. One of the pathways was having the mayor of Midland, Lori Blong, sign a formal proclamation announcing the month of March as Theater in Our Schools Month. She has signed the proclamation, so it is official, but we are currently waiting to receive the actual document, Delgado said. The young actress said that although she is the first in her family to grace the stage, her journey to joining the theater has proved extremely beneficial. I started my theater path at Midland Community Theater, she said. I have experienced the benefits of it and the magic of it. I have seen myself grow because of it. More significantly, Delgado has seen the correlation between her love of theater and her love of helping others. I have seen how much it can help people, she explained. So I decided that this is something that I want to advocate for. This is something that I want to do. The next step was taking a leadership position within the Texas Thespians Advocacy Network. From there, the teen says that collaborating with other departments as well as theater schools can create a pathway to discovering the arts. That will elevate the arts a bit, she explained. Part of my job will be coming up with community events and promoting these events for kids. But Delgado is not alone. She is joined by Blaine Wheelis, a Texas state officer within the Texas Thespians Advocacy Network, who is also a student at Midland High School. We are urging others to support their local theater departments, Delgado said. For example, if there is a show, then go to it. We are trying to make as many campaigns as possible and rally for these kids. Delgado said that the other group that helped her became more active in her theater life was Midland Community Theater's Pickwick Players. According to MCT's website, there is an audition-only theater education, performance, leadership, and service group for 7th through 12th grade students. Once students are accepted into the Pickwick Players, students have the opportunity to audition for the 3 Pickwick productions during the year. They also teach theater camps and instruct younger groups, Delgado explained. I would credit them in my pursuit for advocacy. Delgado continued in advising that the Pickwick Players will be performing in an upcoming production next week, Anne of Green Gables, beginning March 22nd. Beyond teaching students social skills, helping students learn to work together in a group setting, and adapting to a creative environment, Delgado says benefits from theater instruction can increase the social and cognitive skills of students. Personally, it helped me come out of my shell, she said. It has helped me to see what it is like to work with innovative people. I cannot express how much it has helped me. She added that theater education can help students develop emotional skills as well. It can show students how to recognize certain emotions in others, she said.
Oil Report. Occidental helps Axis test fully electric service rig. A fully electric well service rig, the oil and natural gas industry's first, is busy reworking production wells for Occidental Petroleum in the Permian Basin. Quote, it's exciting to be able to partner with Occidental and get into the field, end quote, said Clay Holland, Senior Vice President, Operations at Axis Energy Services. He said it was also exciting for the large number of people who worked on developing the rig. Speaking with the Reporter Telegram by telephone, Holland said the company had done, quote, a ton of testing, end quote, on its EPIC, electric-powered intervention and completion rig before bringing it to the field. Quote, expanding electrification is integral to Oxy's strategy because it contributes to emissions reductions, improves efficiency, creates cost savings, and leverages technology to accelerate our net zero goals, end quote, said Bob Barnes, Senior Vice President of Operations at Oxy, in a statement. Quote, of all the advantages of the EPIC rig, we're particularly excited about the different ways it can help us achieve our decarbonization goals, end quote. The rig is designed to operate on battery power or field gas, natural gas, or connection to the public power grid through a transformer. Quote, the rig itself is designed to run off a certain amount of kilowatts. It doesn't care what those kilowatts are. It's designed to be extremely versatile in the wattage it gets, end quote, Holland said. The ability to connect to the grid and leverage renewable energy sources can reduce emissions and benefit the environment. But more important is the contributions to safety, he said. The electric-powered drawworks utilizes dynamic braking, quote, which provides intrinsically safer operations, end quote, said Holland. If the operator running the rig should ever become distracted or for some other reason, remove his hand from the controls, the rig will automatically stop, he explained. The rig's built-in programmable logic controller works in conjunction with Axis Core Data Acquisition and Analysis Platform to provide precision control and enable automated safeguards that reduce manual actions and potential for human error, he added. Quote, it has a myriad of safety elements, end quote, he said. Holland observed that, quote, well servicing is one of the most fragmented industries, and because of that, margins don't allow for innovation. Our partnership with Occidental allowed for that innovation, and we're excited to have a new mousetrap for the market, end quote. As the first rig works under a contract to Occidental, Axis is building at least two subsequent EPIC rigs, one of which will be a completion rig for frac plug drillouts. Quote, we will continue to innovate off this rig, end quote, said Holland. He said that includes looking at the positives and negatives of moving to battery power only. Quote, there are a lot of eyes on this project, end quote, he said. Methane output up in energy sector. Methane emissions from the energy sector neared an all-time high in 2023, but could drop off soon, the International Energy Agency said Wednesday. The Independent Global Energy Authority issued the news along with an update to its annual global methane tracker, calculating that the production and use of fossil fuels produced close to 120 million tons of methane emissions in 2023, up slightly from 2022. It also found that if all companies and countries kept their methane pledges, which spiked following the COP28 climate summit in Dubai, and included a new federal limit announced by President Joe Biden, methane emissions from fossil fuels could be cut in half by 2030. The fate of the U.S. rule is uncertain. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton sued the federal government over its introduction of new rules last week after some small oil producers and state-led regulators expressed concern. The rule had previously gained the support of several major energy companies with Texas footprints, including BP, Oxy, and Equinor. Quote, "I am encouraged by the momentum we've seen in recent months," end quote. Fatih Birol, executive director of the IEA, said in a statement. Quote, "Now we must focus on transforming commitments into action. A 75% cut in methane emissions from fossil fuels by 2030 is imperative to stop the planet from warming to a dangerous level," end quote. The U.S. is the largest global producer of oil and gas and emits the most methane from those operations, followed closely by Russia. Methane from coal power generation also generates a significant percentage of global emissions, of which the largest share is released by China. Emissions of the potent greenhouse gas are not limited to energy production. Landfills are another key source. A recent analysis by the climate nonprofit Industrious Labs found that 75% of industrial methane emissions reported in Texas come from the state's municipal solid waste landfills. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is required to reassess its landfill regulations by August. The agency has declined to respond to questions about Paxton's lawsuit against its new methane rule that will apply to existing operations in the oil and gas industry.
Wendy Kingston, reading the Midland Reporter Telegram, March 19th, 2024. Obits. Rachel Raymond Billheimer faithfully completed her devoted service to our Lord on Friday, February 23rd, 2024. Raymond was born on February 8, 1939. Raymond is survived by her husband, Robert Jr., and son, Robert III, sister-in-law, Jenny Brown of Farmers Branch, Texas, and nieces, Susan and Stephanie, and nephew, Reggie. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to First Presbyterian Church, 800 West Texas Avenue, Midland, Texas, 79701. A celebration of Raymond's life will be held on Wednesday, March 20th at 1:30 p.m. at First Presbyterian Church, Midland, Texas. William Pendleton. William Lund Pendleton, age 96 of Frisco, Texas, passed away on Monday, March 11th, 2024, after a long battle with Alzheimer's. Bill was born in Bosque County near Clifton, Texas, on May 18, 1927. Survivors include his wife of 72 years, Janelle, his children, grandchildren. Memorial service will be held March 22, 2024 at 3 p.m., Stonebriar Funeral Home in Frisco. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations in memory of Bill to be made to Alzheimer's Association. Hazel Lucille Smith, age 69, went to be with her Lord on March 13, 2024, born in Midland, Texas on July 19, 1954. Hazel leaves behind her mother, Charlene Faye Brown, and children and grandchildren. A viewing will be held from 2 to 8 p.m. on Friday, March 22, 2024, at Mayberry Funeral Home, with a wake service from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. A celebration of life service will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, March 23, 2024, at Lee Street Church of Christ. Barbara Merchant Elliott. Barbara Merchant Elliott, 81 of Midland, passed away Thursday, March 14, 2024. The family will receive friends for visitation on Thursday, March 21, 2024, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home. The family will host a visitation and light reception on Friday, March 22, 2024, from 10:30 to 11:45 a.m. at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home. Funeral services will be held in the chapel at noon, followed by interment at Ellis Rest Haven Memorial Park. Peggy Lewis Harris of Midland died on March 16, 2024, in Midland, Texas. Funeral followed by burial will be held Wednesday, March 20, 2024, 2 p.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home with Pastor Chris Hager officiating. Burial immediately following in American Heritage Cemetery. Thomas Hayden, 73, of Midland, passed away March 15, 2024. Services will be scheduled later. Juan Garcia. Juan Garcia, MD, PhD, 101, of Midland, Texas, passed away peacefully on Sunday, March 10, surrounded by his wife and children. He was born in Madrid, Spain, on March 24, 1922. A mass of Christian burial will be celebrated 10 a.m. Saturday, March 23, at Blessed Sacrament Church, 1029 Delaware Avenue, Buffalo. Interment will follow at Forest Lawn Cemetery, Buffalo. Jorge Acevedo, age 74, of Stanton, went to be with the Lord on March 16, 2024. He was born April 23, 1949. A visitation will be held Tuesday, March 19, 2024, at Stanton Memorial Funeral Home from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., with a rosary being recited at 7 p.m. A funeral mass will be Wednesday, March 20th, 2024, at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Stanton, Texas, starting at 10 a.m. Randy Suggs. Randy Suggs, 71, of Midland, passed away on Friday, March 15th, 2024. Viewing will be Tuesday, March 19, 2024, from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m., with receiving of friends from 5 to 7 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Funeral services is set for Wednesday, March 20, 2024, at 10 a.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. A graveside service will follow at 3 p.m. at Nienda Cemetery in Nienda, Texas.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, March 19th. Johnson Pfluger call for energy independence. Speaker of U.S. House says, Biden's policies bad for America. Opening Energy Week in the U.S. House of Representatives in Washington, D.C., Speaker of the House Mike Johnson and Congressman August Pfluger said here Monday morning that House Republicans are waging a battle royal against the policies of the Biden administration, and they called for the election of former President Donald Trump in the November 5th election. Meeting the media in front of the Ensign Drilling Company rig being operated by Diamondback Energy southeast of Odessa, the Republicans said the Permian Basin is key to meeting the national and global demand for oil and natural gas. Representative Pfluger and I both represent states that know the value of American energy, said Speaker Johnson, who is from Louisiana. Unfortunately, our commander-in-chief does not. Biden's radical anti-energy agenda is bad for America, bad for our allies, and bad for our economy. Johnson said there was a great deal of coverage of Trump's pro-energy comments last week. Democrats and the media took it wildly out of context, but in reality, Trump is 100% correct, he said. If these misguided policies continue, not only will we see a bloodbath in the auto industry, we will see a bloodbath in our energy industry. Since the day President Biden stepped into the Oval Office, he has waged war against American energy and its producers. He killed the Keystone Pipeline, attacked domestic energy producers, depleted our strategic petroleum reserve and sold it off to China, and placed an effective ban on new LNG export terminals. Johnson said electricity costs are up by 28% and the price of gasoline hit a four-month high last week as a result. he praised Representative Pfluger for passing the Unlocking Our Domestic LNG Potential Act to lift Biden's pause on all pending approvals of liquefied natural gas export terminals. Johnson said the House this week will take up bills to support fracking, oppose a carbon tax, decrease fees on oil and gas producers, expedite permitting processes, and denounce Biden's policies. He commended workers like those from Ensign who attended the news conference for faithfully working long hours to produce energy for America, and he said in answer to question from the Odessa American that the work of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, of which Pfluger is a member, will be crucial for the rest of this year. Energy and Commerce has one of the broadest jurisdictions in Congress, and they moved all the legislation that's being taken up this week, Johnson said. They have a lot more ideas, and they'll continue to emphasize this pro-energy approach. We can take real pride in the Permian Basin's innovation story. We can do this in a much cleaner fashion than Vladimir Putin or China. Pfluger began the 10 a.m. news conference by saying, "Welcome to Odessa, the heart of the Permian Basin, where the spirit of innovation and the drive for energy independence run deep. From the hardworking men and women on our oil rigs to the innovative ideas in our research labs, this region embodies the American spirit of ingenuity and resilience," said the San Angelo native, who represents Ector County in the 11th Congressional District. "Today we have the distinct privilege of welcoming Speaker Mike Johnson to our community. Speaker Johnson's leadership and commitment to advancing energy independence have been instrumental in shaping policies that support our industry and safeguard our national security. His presence here today underscores the importance of our mission and the critical role that the Permian Basin plays in the global stage." Pfluger said the House this week will vote on legislation that he is sponsoring to block Biden's new natural gas tax. "This tax would not only stifle innovation and job growth in our region, but also undermine our efforts to provide affordable and reliable energy to consumers at home and abroad," he said. "By standing together and fighting against misguided policies, we can ensure a brighter future for generations to come. Today, we reaffirm our commitment to harnessing the power of American energy to drive economic prosperity and enhance our national security. Together, we will continue to lead the way toward a more secure and prosperous future for our nation." Assault suspect now accused of attempted kidnapping. An Odessa man who was accused of attacking two law enforcement officers 2 months apart last year is now accused of trying to snatch a 9-year-old girl out of a car. According to an Odessa Police Department report, a woman called 911 around 4 p.m. Friday around the 15,000 block of Cumberland Road. When officers arrived, the woman said she was driving south on Cumberland when Lonnie Savage III, 51, walked up to the passenger side of her car and tried to pull the child out of the window while uttering an expletive and saying, "I'm going to kill you," the report stated. The woman threw her vehicle into reverse and back down the road to get away from Savage, the report stated. Savage was arrested on suspicion of attempted kidnapping and deadly conduct. According to Ector County District Court records, Savage is accused of attacking officers in August 2023 and October 2023. He was released from the Ector County Jail after posting $36,000 in surety bonds after the first incident and after posting $15,000 in the second incident. He is now being held on a $12,500 bond. According to an OPD report, officers were sent to the ATV on West University Boulevard in August 2023 about a disturbance, and when they arrived, they were told Savage was cursing and yelling at employees and customers, so much half of the checkout lanes had to be closed due to people being offended. Savage turned and walked away from an OPD corporal despite being told to stop multiple times, and when the corporal caught up with him, Savage was seen on surveillance tape slapping the side of the officer's head and then swinging and hitting him in the face, the report stated. With the help of additional officers, Savage was handcuffed and arrested on suspicion of assault of a peace officer, which is a second-degree felony, evading arrest and disorderly conduct, vulgar language. According to an OPD report from 2 months later, an off-duty Midland police officer was at his home on East 21st Street and Custer Avenue when he heard a disturbance outside. The Midland officer told officers he went outside in his police uniform and identified himself to Savage in an attempt to keep the peace, and Savage began yelling at him and punched him, the report stated. Savage was arrested on suspicion of assault of a public servant. Dad accused of slashing daughter. A 60-year-old Odessa man accused of threatening his daughter and her boyfriend with a knife in February was arrested last week on warrants that were issued in connection with the incident. According to an Odessa Police Department report, Kenneth Landerth's daughter, 25, and her boyfriend, 29, called 911 around 7 p.m. February 26 from the 1000 block of South Landerdale Avenue. When officers arrived, the couple told them Landerth was preparing dinner when he began arguing with his daughter, and when the younger man confronted him, Landerth grabbed a kitchen knife and chased him out of the house with it, the report stated. The daughter said once her boyfriend was gone, her father tried to strike her with a knife, the report stated. She thought initially she'd successfully dodged the knife, but later found a small puncture wound in her abdomen, the report stated. Officers found a small incision on her abdomen that was bleeding and starting to swell. Warrants for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon were issued because Landerth was gone when officers arrived. When officers took Landerth into custody on East 6th Street, March 13th, he had 2.99 grams of methamphetamine and a homemade pipe with crack cocaine residue inside of it, the report stated. As a result, he was also arrested on suspicion of possession of a controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia. He remains in the Ector County Jail on surety bonds totaling $35,000. Police: truck used to terrorize woman. An Odessa man accused of repeatedly crashing into his former girlfriend's car was arrested last week on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. According to an Odessa Police Department report, a 20-year-old Odessa woman called 911 from a convenience store on Harless Avenue to report Jesse Aguilar, Jr., 20, had crashed into her. When officers arrived, the woman said she and Aguilar were arguing on the phone when he showed up at Floyd Gwynn Park in his Chevrolet Silverado, the report stated. She said he slammed his driver's side door in her door repeatedly and then punched her window, causing her to flee in her Dodge Charger, the report stated. The woman told officers that when she got to 16th and Harless, he rammed her car twice and pushed her car into the intersection. He then drove around the passenger side of her car and pulled sharply in front of her. At that point, the woman said Aguilar drove south on Harless, stopped, reversed, and hit her driver's side rear passenger door while driving away, the report stated. According to the report, officers found witnesses and surveillance video to corroborate the woman's story. Aguilar was booked into the Ector County Jail March 13th and released the following day after posting a $25,000 surety bond. Community Easter Egg Hunt open to all. Connection Christian Church has scheduled a free community Easter egg hunt Saturday, March 30th at Lions Club Park, 4341 Esmond. The event is from 10:30 a.m. to noon, with the hunt itself beginning at 11 a.m. sharp. Participating organizations are Connection Christian Church in Odessa, the Ellen Noel Art Museum, the Literacy Coalition of the Permian Basin, the Alliance of Therapy Dogs, and the Permian Basin Regional Council on Alcohol and Drug Abuse. This Easter egg hunt offers not only candy, but also community. We hope families will feel the strength of the resources in our community, surrounding them as they come together to have some fun and feel supported as they raise great kids here in the Permian Basin, explained the Reverend Dr. Don Weeks, a co-pastor of Connection Christian Church, in a news release. Crafts, giveaways, photos with the Easter Bunny, family enrichment activities, and time to play with the therapy dogs will be offered in addition to the annual egg hunt. Texas firefighters completely contain panhandle inferno that burned more than 1 million acres. Firefighters have completely contained the Smokehouse Creek Fire in Hutchinson County after a nearly three-week battle with what quickly became the largest wildfire in Texas history. That inferno and a series of other wildfires killed at least two people as it burned more than 1 million acres across several counties. Many panhandle residents lost homes, farms, and ranches. Thousands of livestock were killed. Relief efforts in the region are ongoing. The U.S. Small Business Administration has set up disaster loan outreach centers in Canadian and Borger for people affected. A Texas House committee is investigating the cause of the fires, as well as the response and effectiveness of disaster preparedness. The Saturday announcement that the Smokehouse fire is 100% contained means that crews have secured the entire perimeter and stopped it from spreading. All state resources have been released and the fire has transitioned back to the local unit, Texas A&M Forest Service said on social media. The Forest Service on Saturday also announced that the Windy Deuce fire, which burned more than 144,000 acres in the region, was also 100% contained. The Smokehouse Creek fire started February 26, 1 mile south of Stinnett, about 60 miles northeast of Amarillo. It quickly spread east toward Roberts and Hemp Hill counties, which suffered most of the damage. The Windy Deuce fire started in nearby Moore County at 6:20 p.m., 4 hours after the Smokehouse fire started. Food pharmacy launches. Midland Health and West Texas Food Bank have announced a partnership to implement a plant-forward food program for those with serious illnesses. The food pharmacy program is referral-based when patients are admitted to the hospital with illnesses like diabetes or heart disease. During a patient's stay at the hospital, a social worker will provide information about their eligibility to attend the food pharmacy and its benefits. The food pharmacy is open to referred patients twice a month at the Midland West Texas Food Bank. Once the patient arrives, they will learn a new plant-forward recipe and be able to shop at the food pharmacy. The food pharmacy allows those with chronic illnesses to learn how healthy foods can support and nourish their bodies for improved health outcomes. The food pharmacy program hopes to encourage healthy eating habits and promote patients advocating for their health. Idea to hold public hearing on TAPR. Idea Public Schools will conduct a public hearing and discussion on the annual report and the 2022-23 Texas Annual Performance Report at their regularly scheduled board meeting from 8:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. March 22nd. TAPR addresses the educational performance of the district and each of the campuses in relation to the district, state, and a comparable group of schools. The TAPR report can be viewed. If you would like to attend, contact Chief Governance Officer Jessica Hess at jessica.hess@ideapublicschools.org or 956-647-7456. Meetings of the board are normally held at 2115 West Pike Boulevard, Welasco. This meeting will also be conducted via video conference. Members of the public may access the regular meeting by dialing 1-361-271-1871, 3596-78274 pound. Phone conference ID 3596782-74 pound. As per TEA regulations, each district's Board of Trustees must hold a public hearing to discuss the district's annual report within 90 days of receiving the TAPR. OC Board to Meet. The Odessa College Board of Trustees will meet in a work session at noon, March 20th, in Room 119 of the Wood Math and Science Building, 201 West University Boulevard. On the agenda are a Vision 2030 update, monthly financials and budget adjustments, and an executive session for discussion of a personnel matter. Odessa Links announces results of point-in-time homeless count. Odessa Links, the lead agency for the Odessa Homeless Coalition, on Monday announced the results of the 2024 point-in-time PIT homeless count, which took place January 25th. The PIT count, mandated by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, in conjunction with the Texas Homeless Network, serves as a crucial tool in understanding and addressing homelessness in the community, a news release said. This year's count revealed a combined total of 135 individuals experiencing homelessness, with 48 individuals sheltered and 87 individuals unsheltered. These numbers reflect the collaborative efforts of the Odessa Homeless Coalition, along with the support of various community partners and volunteers. The Odessa Homeless Coalition, including organizations such as Catholic Charities, Jesus House, Odessa Salvation Army, Crisis Center of West Texas, West Texas VA Health Care System, and Family Promise, worked tirelessly leading up to the count to ensure that all shelters and services providers were prepared, the release said. Thanks to the generosity of the community, essential items such as bags, hand warmers, copies of the Street Survival Guide, bus passes, and snacks were distributed to those in need, while information about the survey was disseminated at key locations. The success of this year's count underscores the commitment of the Odessa Homeless Coalition to ending homelessness in the community. To achieve this goal, the coalition has developed a multifaceted initiative aimed at addressing various areas of concern. The project includes the following components: identification of target populations, prioritizing demographic groups within the homeless community, such as homeless families, chronically homeless individuals, elderly individuals, young adult aging out of foster care, and individuals with mental illness. Needs assessment. Conduct comprehensive assessments to understand the specific challenges faced by each target population, including access to health care, employment opportunities, housing affordability, and social support networks. Housing solutions. developing tailored housing solutions such as rapid rehousing programs, supportive housing options, affordable housing initiatives, and transitional housing programs with supportive services, collaboration and partnerships, partnering with local government agencies, nonprofit organizations, healthcare providers, and community stakeholders to enhance the effectiveness of interventions. Supportive services, providing a range of supportive services, including case management, employment assistance, access to healthcare and mental health services, and life skill training. Prevention strategies, implementing prevention strategies to address the root causes of homelessness and reduce the risk of individuals and families becoming homeless in the future. Monitoring and evaluation. Continuously monitoring the progress of the program through data collection and evaluation to assess its effectiveness in reducing homelessness within the community. Through these initiatives, the Odessa Homeless Coalition remains steadfast in its commitment to end homelessness and improving the well-being and stability of vulnerable individuals and families in the community, the release said. Phi Theta Kappa wins regional award. Phi Theta Kappa, the International Honor Society for Community College Students, held its regional conference in Corpus Christi in early March. The Midland College chapter, Alpha Beta Phi, walked away with several awards: Best Poster for Honors in Action Project, Best Digital Scrapbook, Top 3 in Play It Forward Honors in Action Project, Outstanding Officer, Itzel Cantu. The College Project topped 18. In addition, MC President Damon Kennedy was named to the Texas Hall of Honor for new presidents, and his wife Suzanne was awarded the Friend of Texas. Our PTK students worked so very hard this past year, and all of these awards are so very well deserved. They are an outstanding group of students representing Midland College. We are all grateful for the support that we receive from Dr. Kennedy and Midland College. Terry Gilmore, advisor and Division I coordinator for Phi Theta Kappa, said in a news release. The Midland College chapter is one of 97 chapters in Texas and has been recognized as a 5-star chapter over the past 6 years. OPD investigating Sunday shooting. Odessa police responded to the 400 block of East 23rd Street at approximately 4:32 p.m. Sunday, March 17th, in reference to shots being fired. According to an Odessa Police Department news release, investigation revealed that unknown suspects fired several rounds at a 21-year-old male who was standing in a residential front yard. The suspects then fled the scene in a gray Ford Explorer. There were no reports of any injuries. At this time, no arrests have been made, and the investigation continues. Anyone with information in reference to this incident is encouraged to call OPD at 432-335-3333 or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS and reference case number 24-000-3218.
Odessa firefighter honored for saving baby's life March 13, 2024 by staff report. Stopped at a traffic light, Arisbeth Hernandez Chaviras, baby boy, wasn't breathing. Her sister told her to signal to a firefighter that happened to be turning at the intersection. Not only did that firefighter stop, he would save her son's life. This week, the city of Odessa honored Daniel Chavez, assistant chief for Odessa Fire Rescue, for his swift actions that saved a life. Chavira remembers exiting the vehicle with her son gun and pleading to Chavez for help. The assistant fire chief instructed her to follow him to Fire Station 4. Both she and her sister thought her baby was dead, as he had stopped breathing and his skin color was changing. "I gave my son to him," she said. "I think he was giving him oxygen." Chavez then told her, "He's okay. Your baby came back. Thankfully, we ran into each other at God's will, and I was able to give him the rescue breaths, and that got his heart rate back up as well," the assistant fire chief said. Chavez reunited with Arisbeth and her son weeks after the incident. "I'm very thankful. I owe a lot to him," Arisbeth said. At the time of the incident, Chavez was on his own as all the firefighters and units were out on a call when he came to the station, according to Fire Rescue Chief Cotton. "All Odessa firefighters must all be paramedics, which isn't the case in all cities. He was calm, putting all his training into play, and the outcome was perfect," Chief Cotton said. Find this story in audio for blind and low vision adults, 2 p.m. daily, on the Recording Library of West Texas radio station at www.recordinglibrary.org livestream. Chevron's Stephanie Alvarez, a pioneer for women in the oil field, March 13, 2024, by staff report. In honor of International Women's Day on March 8, NewsWest 9 featured one of the pioneering women who are making their mark out in the oil field, helping to produce the critical energy that powers the world. Stephanie Alvarez serves as an operations advisor for Chevron in Midland. She's among the roughly quarter of U.S. women who make up the energy workforce, according to NewsWest 9, which cited Department of Energy data. Alvarez serves as an inspiration for a growing number of women who are pursuing oil and gas industry careers. Her advice, stick with it, because the future of women in energy is critical. It's going to be foundational in the way we progress in delivering energy to the world, Alvarez said. Check out NewsWest 9's full report on Alvarez's inspiring career journey. Find this story in audio for blind and low vision adults, 2 p.m. daily, on the Recording Library of West Texas radio station, www.recordinglibrary.org live stream.
Wendy Kingston reading the Midland Reporter Telegram, March 19, 2024. Dear Abby, freeloading boyfriend makes woman feel like a bad person. Dear Abby, I've been with the same guy for almost 5 years. I was madly in love with him in the first 3 years, but after I had my daughter, things slowly changed. We haven't been intimate in a while. I had some female issues I wanted to take care of. Plus, I'm not physically attracted to him anymore. He makes little comments about it to make me feel bad. He doesn't want to discuss anything, so talking to him is impossible. We broke up a few months ago, but got back together. He moved all his stuff out, so now he makes me feel guilty, telling me he has nothing and our house doesn't feel like his anymore. By the way, he doesn't pay for rent or household expenses like groceries, etc. I pay for everything because he doesn't work, yet I have to give him money for his gambling addiction. I don't want to be with him anymore, but the last time we broke up, he was terribly verbally abusive, and I don't want to go through that again. What should I do? Indecisive in Illinois. Dear Indecisive, tell him you no longer want to be his sugar mama. He will have to find someone else to feed him and finance his gambling addiction. Do not do it while the two of you are alone. Make sure to have several friends or relatives with you for moral support and to help him collect whatever things he has at your place. If you do it, it may curb his verbal abuse. After that, change the locks on your doors and do not admit him to the house again. If he forces his way in, summon the police. If you don't rid yourself of him, he will suck you dry. Dear Abby, my in-laws live 90 minutes away, so when they visit, they usually stay with us for a night or two. I don't mind hosting them. They are delightful people, and we always have a good time. However, now that they're getting older, I'm wondering what the etiquette is for sleeping arrangements. We don't have a guest bedroom, so they sleep on a pull-out sofa with a pillow topper. While they've never mentioned it, I know it's not all that comfy, and I know they have some age-related aches and pains. When my grandparents stayed with us when I was a kid, they usually slept in my sister's double bed, and she slept on the floor in the room I shared with the other sister. Would offering my in-laws my son's double bed be a good idea going forward? Something about offering the master bedroom seems weird. I'm fortunate to have great in-laws and would like to do right by them. It's just a night or two after all. What would you recommend? Comfort Creature in New Jersey. Dear Comfort Creature, Ask your in-laws whether they would be more comfortable if you changed their sleeping arrangements. If they say yes, have a chat with your son and explain the problem and tell him you want him to sleep on the pull-out sofa bed when his grandparents are visiting.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.